From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Tropical Storm Frances hit the Florida Panhandle today, bringing with it an expected 10 inches of rain and 65-mile-an-hour winds. It is the slowing storm's second landfall. Over the weekend, Hurricane Frances plowed into Florida's Atlantic coast. Over 2 days, it cut power to more than 6 million people, knocked down trees, and damaged homes and boats. At least 4 deaths are blamed on the storm. Now that the worst is over for the Florida Peninsula, cleanup crews are getting to work. NPR's Ari Shapiro rode along with a team that is beginning to assess the damage to the power grid.
During the night, while the rain in Orlando was still blowing horizontally, dozens of vans and power trucks filled the parking lot of a shopping mall on the outskirts of the city. The utility company Progress Energy had brought the vehicles in from Georgia, the Carolinas, and even as far as the Midwest. In an early morning press conference, Florida's Lieutenant Governor Tony Jennings laid out the challenge that Florida's power companies face.
3.2 million billed customers, which we think translates into about 6 million Floridians, are without power. We have had outages in 57 of our 67 counties.
By dawn, most of Progress Energy's power trucks were on the road, taking the first step to bring power back to the company's Florida customers. Dana Yeganian was in one of the vehicles. She's a spokesperson for Progress Energy, and she explained that before her company can restore power to the areas that have had blackouts, it needs an accurate picture of how much damage the hurricane caused. So today, the Progress Energy vehicles carried assessment teams, each with one assessor and one driver.
They are going to go out, look at our lines, look at our substations, see what kind of damage we have, and then figure out what we need to do to really begin the restoration process in earnest.
In parts of the state that were hit by Hurricane Frances, nearly every square of the electrical grid was being reviewed today, city by city, substation by substation, wire by wire. This team was assigned to an Orlando suburb called Lake Mary. As the car proceeded along its planned course, Yeganian spotted places where restoration teams will need to return once the assessment phase is over.
There are some trees. They aren't broken, but they are leaning on the power lines. And they haven't pulled down those power lines, but that's the kind of thing that the damage assessors look for.
Despite the fallen trees, standing water, and broken traffic lights, life was beginning to emerge on the streets of Lake Mary. At a newly reopened Dunkin' Donuts, people lined up around the block. At one of the only gas stations that was open, orange cones had to direct cars to line up in the street while they waited to fill up. In the car just ahead of Yeganian, damage assessor Bob Clark's eyes never left the power lines overhead. He sat in the passenger seat with a pile of maps on his lap and a fistful of highlighters in his hand. He marked the maps as the team drove its course. Green highlighter for a fallen tree, red for downed power lines. When the team made its first stop at the Lake Mary substation, Clark said he was optimistic about what he'd seen so far.
I think we're in pretty good shape. It looks like this storm probably didn't do as much damage as Charlie did from the initial assessment.
Yeganian says when Hurricane Charlie passed through the area 3 weeks ago, it may have felled most of the trees that otherwise would have toppled during Frances.
You know, in this particular area, it looks like that Charlie may have taken down some of the weaker trees, and that may be why we're not seeing as much impact here.
Yeganian says tonight, the assessment teams will bring the color-coded maps back to the operations center and sit down to prioritize.
We try first to fix those lines that will get the most people back on. So say we have a line that will restore power to 500 people, we'll do that line before we do a line that restores power to 50 people.
She hopes that tomorrow morning, her company will be able to give some of the 6 million Floridians without power an idea of when they'll be able to turn the lights back on. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Orlando.